Aren't you glad you feel that pull tonight? Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. I'm so glad we feel the pull. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be back in the house of God? How many of you enjoy church your Wednesday night? You appreciate the word of the Lord. It's more delicious every time we come, isn't it? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Brethren, play some more of that. God bless you, my brother. Say praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a bit tonight while we look at our prayer requests. We've got a lot to ask the Lord about tonight. Brother Charlie, you able to lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight on behalf of these requests? Are you able to pray over these requests tonight? All right. Be getting ready if you would. Love Brother Charlie, don't we? Amen. Brother Jonathan Baker wants us to remember Brother and Sister Baker in prayer tonight, not feeling well. Unable to be in the service, they're asking that we would remember them in prayer. Brother Jeff Nunley offers this testimony tonight. Just wanted to give praise and thanks to God for sparing my life once again. On October the 8th, I went to the emergency room believing that I was still having complications from a lingering kidney stone, but was soon taken to surgery with an upper GI bleed and esophageal tear. After surgery, I was transferred to the intensive care unit when there were complications once again. When the nursing staff was trying to obtain hemoglobin, they unfiltered my left arm, causing severe swelling, bruising, and blistering. On that Sunday morning, it was believed that I was bleeding internally once again. I was taken back to emergency surgery. My mother and sister read Ezekiel 16:6 and had all the saints to pray. When they went back in, they could not find any bleeding. I'm still struggling with fluid buildup, but I am believing I was healed. Thank you for your cards and your prayers, Brother Jeff Nunley. God bless our brother. Amen. Well, God's good, isn't he? We just want to praise the Lord, Brother Jeff, just believing that the Lord will just bring you right on through, Brother Jeff. Praise the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Keith Phillips. He has kidney stones, and just asking that we would remember him in prayer tonight. Brother Daniel Nunley's grandson, Josh, had to be taken to the hospital. We want to remember him in prayer tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Sister Linda Lawris. She was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Pray that God will give her a complete deliverance. We just commit that to the Lord, asking God to be with her. Sister Stacy Hensley and Colton and Elise Hensley are all sick and request prayer. May God bless you all. Stuart and Joy Green sends that in, so we just commit those needs unto the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Brother Paragon from Missouri. He had open heart surgery, not doing well, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. I want to pray for Betty Nicholson from Gastonia, North Carolina, who has diabetes and is very sick. And here's a prayer request to pray for Mary Horniak. She's in the intensive care with extensive bleeding, so we'll just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Ask God to be mindful under that situation. Also, Sister Sharon Ward they took her home from the hospital, I believe, sometime yesterday afternoon, and at 4:30 this morning had to be readmitted back into the hospital. So they're asking that we would really pray that the Lord would be mindful of her, Brother Rocky, the Ward family in particular, that the Lord would just hold them real tight and be with them and touch Sister Sharon. Just I work a lot with Brother Rocky, and I can tell that Sister Sharon's sickness, Brother Terry, has really took a toll on Brother Rocky. So we just want to pray for that family, that the Lord would just be mindful and give them peace and in their hearts, and just give her a touch of healing. I believe he's more than able. Don't you believe that tonight? Are you glad you're a Christian tonight? Are you glad you're saved? You're on your way to heaven? Isn't God the greatest thing that ever got a hold of your life? Give him one more hand clap of praise as you stand tonight, Brother Charlie. Certainly appreciate Brother Charlie. I believe he celebrated his 94th birthday. Is that right, Brother Charlie? Give him a hand. He deserves it. My Lord.
Appreciate you. He deserves it. Not me. Him. You know, you better feel that pull that the song sings about. If you don't, pray for it. Because that'll be the pull for the Holy Ghost. And we all need it. My memory fails me, but the Lord knows the requests that were made. And we just bring it down before him to take care of each and everyone. If you believe it, it'll happen. Yes, I'm an example of that. Back in 1988, what are you laughing at? 85. I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. I got the proof of it home. Letter that indicated I had prostate cancer. I didn't accept it. You believe it like that, it happened to you too. Faith does it for you. Faith in God, not yours, his faith. Precious Heavenly Father, as we come together once again in your presence, we ask you for these needs, Lord. My memory fails me, but you know each and every one of them, Lord. Touch each and every need that was requested, Father. We just rely on your word, your promises, Father, your Holy Spirit to lead us, to be a faithful witness of your word, that wherever we go, your presence will be there. For that's the ministry of your dwelling place, Father. We ask you, Lord, for each and every need. We look forward to the word tonight. Bless us with more understanding, more revelation. Help us to be more and more submissive to your word, Father, that wherever we go, your presence will be there as a living witness of us to you, Lord, that your presence will always be there. Bless us with your precious word. Touch the lips of our servant. And bless him with more and more revelation and understanding of your word for us. In your wonderful, precious name we ask it. And we thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, he reserves the right to get on your hide because he's 94-year-old. And ain't none of you going to do nothing to him. I know that. Praise the Lord. Just a tremendous honor to get to be in church. To worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He never changes. He don't have to say, I don't know why I done that. Have you ever had to say that? I don't know why I done that. He's never had to say that. He's never even had to think it. I love him tonight, don't you? Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. I don't know why you done that. Amen. Let's sing this little song tonight. Just had it on my heart. Sometimes it's hallelujah. Sometimes it's praise the Lord. But whatever the occasion, whatever this service holds tonight, I know if we'll put our all into it, we'll get a whole lot out of it. Do you believe that tonight? Let's sing it with all of our heart. Sometimes hallelujah. Sometimes praise the Lord. Sometimes gently singing, our hearts in one accord. Oh, sometimes, hallelujah, sometimes, praise the Lord. Sometimes, gently sing, our hearts in one accord. Let's sing that first verse now.
Lift our voices up to the sky and start to sing. Oh, let us now return His love. Let our praises ring.
Feasting tonight, aren't we? Somebody say praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor tonight. Just look at him real quickly and ask him this. Are you ready to have some church? Are you ready to have some church? Now, I don't know what they told you back, but it better be yes. How many of you come to worship? How many of you come to have church tonight? We're going to create a good atmosphere for our pastor tonight. Somebody say glory. Somebody say glory. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Oh, come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on.
There's joy over here where the table is spread and this feast of the Lord is going on. There's joy over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on.
Of the Lord is going on. There's power over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Oh, there's joy over here where the table is spread
and the feast of the Lord is going on. There's joy over here where the table is spread
of the Lord is going on. There's victory here where the table is spread.
And the feast of the Lord is going on.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We have a couple of songs. Brother Ryan Kennedy is getting ready to give us a song at this time, if you'll come on. And Sister Tamika, if you'll come on to the platform, be getting ready to sing after Brother Ryan. We'll go right on into the service. While he's getting ready, let's sing just a little bit more of that tonight. There's victory over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord going on. There's victory here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Hallelujah. Over here the feast of the Lord is going on. Come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Give our singers a nice hand tonight as they sing.
sudden. I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. I've realized just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, and how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so. He is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane, and I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. And all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, and how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. Yes, he loves us so. Yes, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves. Yes, he loves. We are his portion and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace was an ocean, then we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turned violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. And how he loves. Yes, he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves. And how he loves. Yes, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves. Jealous for me. Throne in heaven above.
It seems so far away. And though I can't touch your nailed, scarred hands, I have a deep, unspeakable joy that makes my faith to stay.
to be able to believe. Amen. Matthew chapter 20, verse 16. You ought to be so happy tonight. If you're dealing with sickness and trouble and maybe lack of money and you got more bills and you got money to pay and family problems and all kinds of problems, but if God has given you the ability to believe His Word and to accept His truth, you are such a blessed person. I'd rather have that than be a billionaire. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 20, verse 16. So the last shall be first, and the first last. Well, I figured that. It's laying right there. Am I going to have to do your job too?
It looks like.
Should we fire him or what? So the last shall be first and the first last. And Brother Louis is going to be left out if he don't start doing his job better. For many be called, but few chosen. Many be called, but few chosen. You know, it's amazing whenever I read the scripture and see how the translators, what words they chose to use in the New Testament. You and I, looking at it and reading it in the English language, and then when you look at it in the original root words of what they were there, you think, why would they ever have chosen that word? But look at this. So the last shall be first and the first last, for many called, but few chosen. But look at actually the Greek word that it is. Ekklektos, which is elected. Elect, picked out, chosen by God. Now, it's not exactly the same word that we looked at last weekend, but it's from the same root word. Chosen by God to obtain salvation through Christ. Hence, Christians are called chosen or elect of God. Choice, select, the best of its kind or class. Excellence, preeminent. But again, in Jesus, Matthew 22:14. Now, you believe whatever you want. Jesus believed in election. And I did. Again, he says, for many are called, but few are chosen. But not anymore, but they all fit. How does God do all of that? Well, many are called. Many, many, many are called, but few are elect. Can the called be saved? Certainly. They respond to the Savior's call? Absolutely. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. This is one of my all-time favorite scriptures in the Bible. I love it. But ye are a chosen, or the same word, elect. An elect generation. Look at the meaning of this word now. Genos, kind, kindred, offspring, family, race. Now let me tell you, I'm a racist. I believe this race right here is the superior race on the earth. In this race is black and white and red and yellow and, you know, all that sort of thing. But this is the superior race. You are a chosen generation, a genos, nation or nationality of descent from a particular people. The aggregate or multiplicity, different kinds, the aggregate of many individuals of the same nature. That's got to be our soul. There ain't no way that's this. We're way too diverse for that to apply to this. Can't you see what the new birth is? Can't you see what the elect does? It's one people all over the earth of the same nature. The nature of God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, with that meaning in mind, let's read this scripture. For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. How many knows it's marvelous? Revelation 17:14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. They that are with Him are called and chosen, which is the same word we just read, elect. Called and chosen and faithful. You can tell me all day long you're elect, but if you're not faithful to God and to His word, I question your election. That's one of the attributes of being elect, is being faithful to the word of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Father, thank you tonight for the reading of your word. We have been blessed just to hear these things read. But Father, we believe there's content in here that you desire to share with us. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that we could come together on Saturday night to be able to worship you. We passed by the school coming down, and I guess there's some sort of ball game or something going on. And I told Carol, people go out there and sit in the cold and shiver and have blankets and this, that, and other. You can't even get people to come to church on Saturday night, and it's air conditioned and heat and everything in the world. People go sit in the cold and shiver and get cold and do all kinds of things. But Lord, we know it's because of who they love and really what they want to do. We're here tonight, Father, not because we're afraid. We're here tonight not because we're scared we'll go to hell. We wanted to be here. Lord, we count it an honor to be able to assemble ourselves together. Well, it's Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, whenever we can do it. We just thank you for the opportunity. Speak to us tonight, Father, from your word. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus we ask it. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Brother Louis, we'll take the offering later. When I get done, you can come up and sing and do it right. Amen. We appreciate Brother Louis, don't we? Let me read to you this quote here from God's Power to Transform. I want to tell you before I read it, it's quite overwhelming. Some folks might struggle with it. Some might ponder over it. But some will be blessed. Some will rejoice because they can actually see themselves identified in it. I trust you're part of that tonight. Sons and daughters of God was in God at the beginning. Now look, you've got eternal life, and you say, and we believe it, then we've got eternal life. Well, there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. That's the only thing that is eternal, is God. Then if you've got eternal life, that life that's in you always was, and you were in the loins of God. Glory to God. Before there was even a world, you were in the loins of God before there was a world. Now we know God is not a man in the sense of having loins and reproductive glands as a human being would. But God's loins would be His word or His being. His ability to procreate, but not by sexual desire. Now listen how he links this. Then you were in the loins of God before there was even a world. And the word itself, now watch him, the word itself, Jesus himself is called the word. And in St. John 1 said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. What in the world has that got to do with you? Now he's talking about you being in the loins of God, and then he goes to St. John 1 and said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same as in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Then you were in the loins of Jesus. So somehow or another, you got from the loins of God to the loins of Jesus. Glory. How did that happen? How did you get from the loins of God, the great eternal, which is not a body, not a human being, not flesh, but the eternal, but somehow you got from the eternal to the loins of Jesus. So when Jesus walked on the earth, you were here. When they ridiculed him, you were in him. When they laughed at him, you were in him. As a matter of fact, you died in him. And when he got up, you rose in him. And you're sitting here tonight in heavenly places in him. Praise the Lord. Why? Because you are the elect of God. So how did you get from the loins of the eternal into the creation of God? You see, when the Logos came out of the eternal and it moved from the very loins of the eternal into the Logos, later becoming Jesus. Watch him. Then you were in the loins of Jesus and went to Calvary with him. You died with him and you raised with him. And today we're sitting in heavenly places in him, filled with his spirit, sons and daughters of God, die with him, raise with him, sure. Amen. Died with him, raised with him, sure. Oh, thanks be to God. How was it, friend, that the Spirit of God was able to do such a work? God knew that sin would be so dark and it would have such a hole that God had to project a people of his own kind. Now, you don't remember being in the loins of God. You don't remember being in the loins of Jesus. You were a seed, of course. But can you imagine there was something about us that was in the eternal? And then when the eternal condescended into a creation of time, there was something about who you are tonight was in Jesus Christ. So you were in the Lord Jesus when he was on the earth. Oh, praise God. Do you believe this? Now, whatever you think, watch what he goes on to say in paragraph 298. Remember, you was in him at the beginning when Jesus, which is God, the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Then you were in him and stood the insults that he took. You went to Calvary with him, in him. You died in him. You rose in him. And now you're seated together in heavenly places in him. How? By seed you were, oh Brother Donnie, how can you say such a thing? Well, if I can believe that in my Father, whenever he was in his Father, whenever he was in his Father, when he was in his Father, and if you can trace back your DNA, you know, has become a great big thing anymore. They got all kinds of different places, 23andMe, one of them's called, and you can send in your DNA and find out your registry of who you are, and all kinds of folks are doing that. I don't think there's nothing wrong with it, but I think it answers to a spiritual thing that's going on. Folks want to know where they come from. Are they an Apache? Are they a Cherokee? Are they a German? Are they a knothead? What in the world are they? Well, I want to know too. I want to know where I come from. Amen. If I'd send off my DNA, I ain't done it, but if I did send it off and I come back, I was so much of this and so much of that, and you might think you're this and you find out you're not. It's the same way when we run our spiritual DNA. Brother Tim Pruitt told me they've been taught all their lives and believe there's this great big amount of Cherokee Indian in them. But when he done his DNA, Cherokee Indian was there, but it wasn't near as much as what he thought. Well, I've thought all of my life pretty much. I was a low down, sorry, good for nothing, hardly redeemable human being. But once I done my DNA, I found out I was redeemable. I was lovable. I was called. I was chosen. And I am faithful because of the choosing of God. Oh, praise the Lord. You know what? In my human DNA, no doubt there'd be surprises because I'd find out this and that and the other. My inheritance, they come from wherever more, and I didn't realize it. But I'm finding out more and more as I do my spiritual DNA from the tree of life. I'm finding there's no hypocrites up that tree. I'm finding there's no unbelievers. There's no infidel. There's no agnostics. It's faith. It's promises of the Word of God. Are you going to preach with me tonight? You may look at your flesh and be ashamed when you run all that down. But brother, sister, if we can take our DNA to the great laboratory of God and we can chase it back, go beyond your conversion. Go beyond you hearing about Jesus for the first time and go back to where you come from. You go farther back than the tomb. You go farther back than Calvary. You go farther back than Pilate's hall. You go plumb back into the realm of eternity when you were in the loins of God. When God said, let there be, you was there. And when Jesus came out of there, you came out with him. Oh, hallelujah. This is why you're going back. You're going back to where you come from. Devil, you might as well give up. You ain't going to stop us. Oh, hallelujah. I know we may not feel like it tonight because the part that we're talking about has nothing to do with feeling. What if you're 25% German tonight, 3% Croatian, 2% of Indian, and this and that and the other? Which part do you feel? The German or the Indian or the Croatian or the Polish or whatever more? You don't even know what you are. Well, why in the world do we judge who we are by the soul, by the feeling? Well, I don't feel saved. I'm really trying to press and I'm having a hard time. I'm not sure if I'm elect. That has nothing to do with your DNA. Your DNA goes beyond feeling. I don't remember standing in him at the whipping post, but I'll tell you one thing. When I hear preachers preach it, it's like I'm feeling the stripes. When I hear them talk about the pain and the agony of Calvary, it's like I was there, but I'm realizing I really, really was. Amen. It's not just a drama. I was really there in Christ Jesus. And so are you if you're elect tonight. Oh, praise be to God. I died with him. I got up with him. I come back with him on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Bless that church, what do you say? Amen. My, I told you this 1 Peter chapter 2 is one of my favorite verses. Let me share with you several meanings of this word so it'll make it more rich and more full to you. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now this word is basileo, which is kingly or regal. You are a royal priesthood. Isn't this strange now that you'd attach kingship to priesthood? Now in the Old Testament, you know, it was forbidden for any Jewish king to go in and try to become a priest. But yet in the New Testament, Peter, being inspired by the Spirit of God, would link the two together because Melchizedek had become both king and priest, the Lord Jesus. And now he says that, which was unheard of really in the Old Testament, to be this kind of thing, to be a kingly priest. So we are not just priests, but we are of a royal priesthood. Now, most of the time you would think that royalty was separate from the priest, but Melchizedek merged it together, being both king and priest. Now he says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal, a kingly, regal priesthood, a holy nation, which is ethnos, a multitude of individuals of the same nature or genus or race. Do you understand, friend? What a miraculous thing God has done by the new birth. Now we sit here tonight and we got people that's very emotional. We got some that's some emotional. We got some that's a little emotional. And we got some that's no emotional. They don't move. I mean, hardly done anything. They don't even bat an eye. And yet it's on the inside. Now, most of those same folks are born of the Spirit of God and they have the Holy Ghost. And they've got the same nature down on the inside. They don't worship the same. They don't shout the same. They don't clap their hands the same. But yet if you run all of their DNA with the Holy Ghost, it's exactly go back to the same Father. Amen. Why? Because Wellsayer of, amen, of that holy nation. Oh my. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar. Oh yes, Brother Donnie, I'm odd, I'm strange, I'm weird. That ain't the meaning. Look at what peculiar means. Purchased possession. One's own property. A preserving. A preservation. Don't try to make yourself strange and weird and say, you're a peculiar people. You're a bought people. You're a purchased people. You are a preserved people. Amen. Well, who preserved us? The owner. Who bought us? The owner. Who paid our price? The owner. And if the owner bought me, the owner can keep me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh my. Notice this. He goes on to say, he has called you out of darkness. I love this one here. The skotos, which in the metaphoric meaning is of ignorance, respecting divine things and human duties and the accompanying ungodliness and immorality together with the consequent misery. Your life story before Calvary. Praise God. But he has called us out of that into what? His marvelous light. Friends, why shouldn't we rejoice tonight? Why shouldn't we be the happiest people on the face of this earth that what the Lord Jesus has done for us? Now, I want to speak to you again and ask the Lord will help me on election again. Now, I hope you're not getting tired of hearing this on election and predestination. Let us read, we closed out with this one last week, but Brother Rim says, by sovereign grace, before there was a world, God knew that I would be here and have this ministry. How many believes that? Yeah. Sure he does. All right, then he sent it to you people. I'm glad to see you full gospel people believe in election, because there is where the whole thing lays. In election, that's right. In election, God shows that nothing we could do. It wasn't in you to serve God. It wasn't in you to seek after God. Praise the Lord. Again, he says gifts and callings over that repentance. It's God's election and foreknowledge is what makes the thing so. If we have a desire, the Bible said it's not him that willeth or him that runneth, but God that shows mercy. See, it's not whether you will or whether you want to or where your desires is. It's whether God's will or not. You didn't even want in the first place, but it wanted you. That little germ that was in you from the beginning found you. You didn't find it. You didn't know you had a germ. It took the germ to bring you to who you was. Amen. For by one spirit we're all placed into the body of Christ positionally. Have you ever tried it out yet? Every man or woman in here that's a Christian knows something has been on you all your life. When you was a child, you longed to serve God. Something beat at your heart. It was God's election. And the saints said, oh my. You have Abraham's seed when they have the Holy Ghost. That's right. It was through that promise. Now the promise wasn't made or given to you by your own goodness. It was God's election and calling that brought you to it. Nothing you ever done to merit it. You never sought after God. God sought after you and gave it to you on the basis of sovereign grace. Nothing in the world that you could do. Nothing you could do. Oh, Brother Donnie, where does that put these people out here? Grace. If it's grace for the elect, how much more grace is it for non-elect? It's grace that moves on them. God knocks on their heart. He don't want them to perish. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, you say, I wear the best clothes in the neighborhood. I got the best car. I have the best. That doesn't have one thing to do with it. It's the nature. I've never, oh, notice this. I never told lies. That still hasn't got nothing to do with it. It's no merits of your own, but the unconditional election and calling of God. And salvation is the merits of Jesus Christ. Nothing that an individual could do. God, by His love, saved man. Not what man could do. There's nothing you could do about it. You couldn't even have a nature to long for God. You couldn't even have a nature. That thing that you remember calling on you, that you think was you, it was God's grace, my brother. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. You couldn't even have a nature to long for God because you're a sinner. So no man has sought God at any time. You see, friends, why folks struggle with this? They want to still hang on to, well, I done this and I done that and I... What is it? Adam in the Garden of Eden again. Trying to make himself a religious covering. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I went up to the altar and I decided, I made up my mind. This is my last pell-mell. No more old turkey for me. No more pornography. I'll tell you one thing. I'm doing this. And that's where they think they done it. And that's why when they hear this, they struggle with it. Because it's like you're taking something from them. You are error. Error. If anything moved on you to seek God, it was God's grace, not you. I'm just so glad I can just accept it and say, amen, Lord. I never had nothing. I didn't want you. I wasn't seeking you. I wasn't trying to do it. It was God's grace for me. I'm glad I don't struggle with it. Isn't you, Brother Terry? Oh, my. Notice this. He says, God called Abraham and because he was a good man. No, God called Abraham by election. God elects people. And over in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, about the fifth verse, Paul states the word predestinated us to the adoption of sons. Now, that doesn't mean that God just puts you in a little channel and runs you through. You can't help. Oh, my, how you go. Would be no reward. But God gives you the free moral agency to make your choice. But God will keep His believer. So your free moral agency has to do with what? Your reward. Look at your mistakes in life. It wasn't elected of God. Wasn't ordained of God. It was our slothfulness, our laziness, our ignorance, whatever more. That's free moral agency. Oh my. Notice he says, God does the calling. God does the choosing. God does the electing. God does the setting in order. God is setting the church. Some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some evangelists and pastors. God does that Himself. You mean to tell me God called me to preach before I was ever born? Well, that ain't right. Some of y'all get to choose to be a painter or a farmer or a barber or insurance man or whatever more. I never even got a choice. That ain't fair. What? Fair for who? You? So God calls His real preachers to preach before the foundation of the world. And then He don't even give you a choice of which office you get to go into. Because there is five different ones. So I said, Donnie, all right, now you're going to be a preacher. Which one do you want to be? You mean He done that before I had a choice? You mean He done that without even asking my permission? If He would do that to my gift, what about my seed? If He did that to my gift, what about my soul? Can you imagine real God called men? If God left it up to their choice, there'd be no real God called men preaching. Why, Brother Rem said, a real God called man runs from it. He don't want it. If God left preaching up to me, I wouldn't be your pastor. I wouldn't be a preacher. I said, I dislike you. I just wouldn't be a preacher. You better thank God He didn't leave it up to my free moral agency. You better thank God he didn't leave your destiny up to your own free moral agency. I don't tell him where some of you'd be tonight. Oh my. God in his infinite grace and by his election and by his foreknowledge set these things in order. Every wheel works just right. I like that. I would be a discouraged man this morning. If I didn't believe in the election and calling of God. You mean Brother Branham being a prophet and believing grace and mercy of the Holy Ghost? Yet if he didn't believe in election, he would be discouraged? You mean believing in grace is not enough to keep you up? Believing in free moral agency and many, many other things would not be, he would be discouraged? I wonder if that's why some of you stay so discouraged. You ain't believing election right. Uh-oh. Notice again, God by election chose Abraham, not because he was a good man, but because God elected Abraham. And that's the only way you'll ever come to God. It's God's election. God does the choosing. You have nothing. Let's everybody say it. Nothing. Tell me what you done.
Nothing.
Tell me what you could do.
Nothing.
I believe it.
Now you told me, do you believe what you just said?
Amen.
Nothing. But I bet, well, say it till you get past all that. I've done this, I've done that, I remember. To the man in the engine room. When the man in the engine room hears these things, he can squall out to the man on the deck, say amen. Say amen. Then you're getting the both lined together, the conscious and the subconscious. Now watch, he said, God. Oh my. God elected Abraham. That's the only way you'll ever come to God, is God's election. God does the choosing. You have nothing to do with it. There's no man has sought God at any time. You can't seek God. It is a revelation, brother. You can't seek God. It's God seeking you. It's something in you creating that desire. You mean you're not even saved yet? You're not even a Christian. You're not even a believer. But something is in you creating a desire to seek God. Election, my brother, sister. Election precedes your birth. Gifts and callings of God are without repentance. I scholar to be a preacher before I was ever saved. The gift to minister the word was in me before I ever got the Holy Ghost. Well, if you'd say amen to that, how much more is the gift to believe God to receive salvation in you before you ever got saved? If I was gifted by God to be a preacher before I was ever submitted to be a child of God, how much more is my eternal life and yours? Oh my, you being dead in sins without any nature to serve God at all. And God by election called you and gave you his spirit without you making any choice. Lord have mercy. Devil just went out right there. Wake up, devil. Wake up. Is there anybody here tonight that believes this besides me? Thank you, Jesus. God by election called you and gave you his spirit without you making any choice. No one can come to me except my Father draws him first. And if God did that through you without you being able to make a choice, how much more will he heal you and keep you when you've got a choice by a sworn effort of his? If he could do that without your allegiance, without you even saying yes, how much more when the devil tries to afflict your body or the devil tries to get you down and discouraged? Now you and God are working together. The other time it was him and you was working against him. He was working for you. If God done that greater work inside of you, with you against him. My Lord, what can he do now with both of you on the same side? God saved you. God sanctified you. God filled you with the Holy Ghost. And you didn't even want him. My. What can he do tonight when you want heaven? You want healing. You want the rapture. You want revelation. Oh my, let me share a few of this with you and we'll change direction in a few moments. You're not saved because you're a good person. You're saved because Christ chose you. No man seeks God. God seeks man, Jesus said. No man contradicts me except my Father knows him first. If we could stop just for a few moments and realize the great importance of that one thing. That if God was who chose you, not willing that you should perish, but to give you the opportunity and called you and elected you to be a servant, why? What could be more precious than that? Why do folks get angry at it? That's what I don't understand. Why do message folks get upset when they hear this preach? I just don't understand it at all. I just do not comprehend it. When you find the prophet of God saying, what would be more precious than that? And other folks say, oh, it makes me mad that God elected me. You need to go to a doctor. You need a shot or something. You need help. Brother, sister, I can't think of nothing even that made me more happy to know that God chose me. God chose me. Brother West, God chose us. God elected us to believe this truth. If I chose to believe this message, one day I may make up my mind to leave it. But I never chose to believe it. He chose me to believe it. Amen. If you made up your mind, Brother Larry, you may make up your mind to go away from it. But God, amen. God never asked you to believe it. God believed it in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What could be more precious than that? Without you having a choice, it would be totally impossible for any man to seek God. Well, if this is the truth, you see what Satan has done to the ages. He has told people a lie. That they sought God and they can do this and they can do that. If he's told us that lie, why would he do it? To get us off the foundation of truth. You see, friends, the message folks have been to do away with predestination and election. There's so much that's correlated together. They're not just doing away with predestination and election. They're doing away with this main point right here, that no man can see God. Satan knows that. He knows fallen man cannot see God. Oh, he can go to church. He can become religious. But he really can't see God. Oh, my. It would be totally impossible for any man to see God, for his nature is a sinner, and he has nothing within him to give him a desire to serve God. But mercy rewrote your life. Again, God in his sovereign grace and his omnipotence knocks at your heart, gives you the blessed opportunity, and turns you around and sends you up the road. How could you turn that down? Changes your whole nature. Turns you around and starts you the other way. Oh, you'll be silly to the world, but you'll be blessed in the sight of God. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, said our Lord Jesus Christ, God by his amazing grace. Notice, it was what God did. What God called. You had no will to call. You had no will to call. You had no desire to call. You had no nature to seek him. Don't you see when we say we were lost? Do you see what that involves? Amen. It's not like you just, well, I'm going to do this for a certain long time. And then whenever I make up my mind, I'm going to give my heart to God. I'm going to come to church. I'm going to do this and another. Like we've got the key. Like like we can walk in whenever we want to. I'm going to live this kind of life till I'm 30, 35, and then whenever I, you know, sell my wild horse, then I'll do this and I'll straighten out like God give us the key, and we just go over and open the door when we're ready. It don't work that way. Satan has deceived millions of people by convincing them that's the way it is. The mercy of God will always be there for you just whenever you come. You can only come when God draws you. And it may draw you when you're 15 and never draw you again. It don't mean he's going to stand there the rest of your life with his arms wide open. He may give you one opportunity, and that may be the only time in your entire life he ever deals with your heart. You better take it when he passes by. That's why I know some of you question these kids, these children, giving their heart to the Lord and getting baptized. I'll tell you one thing. I'd rather see them do that than going out packing a gun, killing somebody. I'd rather see them doing that than getting their mind filled with a bunch of television, a bunch of nonsense. If God can deal with John the Baptist at the age of 9 years old, what about our message kids? Praise the Lord. Oh my. Notice this. It was God that did it. What God called. You had no will to call. You could have had no desire to call, because your nature was contrary to it. Completely contrary to it. God by election called you and turned you around and set your affections toward Christ and the things above. How could we turn it down? God calls who he will, and it's all by election. We find out that it's not him that wants to be saved. Not him that willeth or him that readeth, that God that showeth mercy. No man can come to Jesus except God draws him first. So what you got to do with it anyhow? You haven't got nothing to do with it. You're out of the picture altogether. Well, God, let me get out of the way so you can develop me. My. Notice again in Hebrews chapter 6, part 3. We don't believe in legal forms of salvation. We believe that by grace are we saved. And it's not you. You have nothing to do with it. Believe me, friends, I'm only reading you a few that I found on this. There's hundreds. Our message is filled with election, predestination, foreknowledge, foreknow. Thousands and thousands of statements by our prophet. Plus hundreds of scriptures in the Bible, Old and New Testament. And the message of Malachi 4 is to turn our hearts back to the original teaching of the fathers. This is what Paul preached. If Paul was here tonight, the deacons had already had to set him down 5 times. If Peter was here, he'd done been screaming at the top of his voice, and I was giving him the meaning of these words. He said, I remember the day I wrote her down by the Holy Ghost. Preach it, Brother Donnie, preach it. The rapture must be close at hand. Here they are, 2,000 years after those truths were lost. They have been restored again. And there's people all over the earth believing what we believed in the first century. Amen. Oh, my. Notice this, he said, God does that. You can't brag. At all. There's not a thing you did. God by grace saves you, not you yourself. If you do, you got something to brag about. Can't you see where so many people want to hang on to what they done? I went to church. I'll tell you one thing. I done this. I went up to that altar. I told that preacher, glory to God. I give the preacher my right hand. You might as well shuck a donkey's tail if God wasn't calling you. I put my name on the church book. You might as well wrote it on the barn door. If the Holy Ghost never called you, it never done you no good. It'd make you more religious, which is 7 times worse than a drunk devil. Come on, children. Decided I was going to follow the prophet of God. Yeah, you'll be worse than some of them. You've got to be called by God and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't brag at all. So some of y'all get this right. And somebody can ask you, how'd you get saved? I done nothing. How'd you get the Holy Ghost? I done nothing. How you going to heaven? I'm not worth it. How did you get? I've never done nothing at all. I'm just a bystander. He passed by. He picked me up. He straightened me up. Set my feet on the right path. I'm just following along, enjoying the journey. I'm just enjoying the ride. Well, what didn't you do then? Didn't you get out of the hole of the altar? There's not a thing you did. God by grace saves you, not you yourself. If you do, you got something to brag about. But you ain't got nothing to brag. All praises go to Him. It's Him. Then He gives you the sure hope. Sworn by an oath, the impossibility for His children to ever be lost. That's not John 3:16 Christians now. That's His children. You don't know God by mathematics. Neither do you know Him by science. You know God by faith. And faith alone you know Him. By His foreknowledge, He has elected you to eternal life. No man can come except the Father draws him. And if you see it and know that God is with you, how happy you should be. If you're not tonight, say, God, help me. And then if you be in Christ, you become Abraham's seed and you're heirs of Abraham and the promise made to Abraham. Not because he was a great man or because he was a religious man. It was by God's foreknowledge. By election, He chose Abraham. God chose you. You never chose God. God chose you. Jesus said, no man can come except my Father draws him first. So many people say, oh, I sought God. I sought God. That's a mistake. You don't seek God. God seeks Him. Message preacher was standing on a parking lot not too awful long back arguing with his son because his son was saying, we believe in election and predestination. And the pastor was saying, no, we don't. No, we don't. Message preacher, no, we don't. This individual that goes to his church walked up and heard the conversation. He said, brother, he said, God got a hold to me and nobody told me about Him. So this preacher kept trying to tell him, oh, you heard it. Somebody sowed that seed in you. Somebody kept telling you this and telling that. He said, no, sir, nobody told me. God got a hold to me. The preacher kept trying to direct him back to it. But it was you. It was what you done. It was what you done this. He said, no. I thought, thank God. Somebody telling me about it. I thought, thank God for a man being able to stand there. He refused to brag about what he done. Don't you see what this does, friends? Don't you see what extreme Arminianism does? It leads people to brag. Bless God. I'll tell you one thing. I went down there. I got a hold to God. I done this and that and the other. My, my. But a real person who knows that they're elected and called by God. They're trying to think, what in the world was it got a hold to me? I don't even know what it was. I was going this way and all of a sudden I turn and I start this way. I was just as happy as I could be going this way and all of a sudden something ding, 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 boom, 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 and now I'm going this way and happy going this way and I was going that way. And I don't even know exactly what happened. I didn't even make up my mind. It wasn't me to premeditate and I studied about it and I went to theological school and I fasted for 40 days and I got a hold to this and I done that and the other. All of a sudden something just went whoop. And I'm like, whoop. And I'm still, whoop. And for long I'm fixing to, whoop. Are y'all, whoop. Are y'all going? What was it? Then what can you brag at? Nothing. Oh, but that's hard on us. We love bragging. Bless God, I'm a Reagan. I'll tell you one thing. I'm a Yonce. I'm a Mullins. So? I tell you that I've done this and that and the other. But when it comes to salvation, there won't be one child of God that'll stand there and say, I'll tell you one thing. I've done this and that. They'll be in the tribulation period. Because it's evident they don't see the truth. Can you imagine when millions times millions of elect gather and there won't be one arrogant spirit there? None of them will say, I've done this and I've done that. I'll tell you one thing. I was such a blessing and I've done that. I was so gifted. There won't be one there. Now, when I say hallelujah, I'll tell you one thing. I made up my mind. Lord God, aren't you grateful I'm here? I'll make heaven what it is. I'm telling you right now, God, you made a good choice by accepting me because I'm fixing to turn this place upside. All the rest of these people are just puppets, but not me. I made up my mind. I've got a hold of something, and boy, you need the Holy Ghost to get rid of your arrogance and your pride and your selfishness. Oh my. I love this from blind Bartimaeus. You believe in election? Sure have to if you believe the Bible. You believe in election tonight?
Yes, we have.
Our names is put in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. So the Bible said we was elected by God by His foreknowledge. He elected us. Now and then, if you're called, you ought to be thankful to God that you was elected. That's what I'm so thankful about, that God called me, chose me. I never chose Him. He chose me. You say, well, Brother Donnie, why are you emphasizing this? It changes your attitude. It makes you so grateful to God. But as long as you're hanging on you, you done this and you done that and you done something else, there'll always be that old crutch of your humanity. And you'll feel like God owes you something because you've done this and that. But you really see it through grace. You know He knows you absolutely nothing. You never come. It was not your desire. You had no will to. You had no nature to, but grace reached down and picked you up and changed you and gave you a thirst to serve Him. Mm. My. Thank you, Jesus. Notice in Abraham's seed, there's so much make-believe going on and sensations and different things like that. But when you in your heart, you believe Him, when something has happened to you, it's God did it. And God's the only one that can do it. So God, by grace and election, put that in your heart to believe it. God, by grace and election. Our sister was singing a while ago, God, by grace and election, put it in your heart to believe it. Hey, it wasn't there to begin with, and you had no way of putting it there. God placed it there. And you answered the call. So if it's not you calling, it was God placing it in you, and you answered the call in you. But where did that call come from? It was election that put it in you. You couldn't have done it yourself. Oh, you're a Christian when you're born again, and you cannot be born again unless you've been elected to be born again. For no man can come except my Father draws him. All my Father's given me will come, He said. Amen. I'll raise him up. Look in the last days, it'd be so close that it deceived the elected apostle. Oh my, the reason the elected won't be deceived, you know why? It's because they are the Word. Now, in the bride's portion of the divine will of God is a special allocation of being seed. Now, election, foreknowledge, predestination, all this, it all ties into one gigantic picture. Being seed of God. In Genesis, man became a living soul. After his new birth by the Holy Ghost, he becomes a quickened soul. God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Now the Holy Ghost is brooding, overshadowing the Logos seed, which is deposited in our soul. Now, God knew what Satan would do, of course, in the beginning. So when God let the Logos, the Son of God, come out of the eternal, God made the Logos into two aspects or two dimensions. One of them would become the written word. The other would become the person of the word, which would be what we would know as the Lord Jesus. Now, God would allow everything, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, all the power of God associated with Logos and Rhema, to be in this person, the Lord Jesus. But God would do a phenomenal, wonderful thing when he would allow the Logos to become written on pages like this and call the Bible. God would actually separate the power and the life from the Logos. Now listen, he would allow the Logos to be written down, and it would be his word, his character, his behavior, but he would sever the power and the life from the Logos, because if not, then Satan or any unbeliever or anyone that would be able to pick this up, if the Logos had the resurrection power, just the Logos, then they could quote the Logos and raise the dead and heal the sick and do this and another, and Satan would have access to the Logos with full power. So God would allow the Logos to be written, but he would remove life and power from it. You see, Jesus, whenever he was being tempted in Matthew 4, Satan quoted to the Lord Jesus Logos. Has he ever quoted you the word? Especially when you mess up something or other, he say, "Hey, don't the Bible say this? Or don't the prophet say this or say that or the other?" And try to get you to feel bad. He uses the Logos to his advantage. Now, God, knowing what would come to pass, so God divides then the word, and he puts the word on a basis of Logos and Rhema. Now, when the Lord Jesus comes, of course, he is the fullness of the attribute of God. Now, what's this? Let's get into predestination, if we can, a little bit, on the aspect of Logos and Rhema. What's this an expectation? If a man's ever born of the Spirit of God, he becomes a new creation and can't produce nothing else but godly fear and godly love and the fruits of the Spirit, for it is life. We are sowed with incorruptible seed of God, the imperishable seed of God. It's got to produce exactly of its kind. And the church said, amen. Notice Brother Abraham said, "I'm not condemning Catholic people, I'm not condemning Protestant people, for out of both and all of them comes the seed of God by election." Now, we were in the loins of God, and then we were transmitted down into the loins of Jesus. What were we? Since God is not a man, then this was not in the loins of God, because God is not a human being. So what part of me was in the loins of God? The seed of God, of course. Remember the parable when Jesus tells us about the sower going forth to sow the seed. And he comes and he tells us the good seed are the children of the kingdom. And the tares, remember the parable, the tares and the wheat? And he said, whenever the tares come forth, the devil is the one that sowed them. So the good seed is actually the children of the kingdom. When you are born into this earth, you receive that Logos, predestinated seed of God. But remember, as God has the power to separate life and resurrection out of the Logos and let the Logos lay there and be a dormant seed, as he does in the Bible. Have you ever read something in the Bible over and over and over again, and then one day you pick it up and you read it, and it's not the first time you've ever read it? Now, what's happened is the Spirit of God just quickened that Logos word and turned it into a Rhema word for you. It's the same way with you. You are Logos in the sense of word when you come to the earth. But you're not quickened yet. You don't have life on you as far as eternal life, living out the manifestation of what the seed is. What happens to you? The Holy Ghost baptizes you into the body of God, then you become a Rhema Christian. You see, much of Christianity is nothing but a Logos Christian, in that they were, God said this, and Jesus said that, Paul said this, and Peter said that, so they're quoting Logos, 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 but the Spirit of God has never quickened that word inside of them to give them a word birth. You following me? Oh my. Notice this now. Brother Ben said, because we can be emotional, don't mean that we're saved. Because we go to church, don't mean we're saved. Don't believe those enticing spirits. A real Spirit of God, a real Word of God, is the truth of God, which is the seed of God, will produce God in your life. You'll be godly, saintly, holy. Well, praise the Lord. Spoken words, original seed, the works that Jesus did. If a man has the seed of God in him, with the Spirit of God watering that seed, the same works that Jesus did was manifested in Jesus. Him being the original seed of God, his death brings you back to the original seed of God. Now, the original seed of God, when it goes out of God, it is both logos and life and power. So it is the immersion together of logos and zoe, which makes the word made personified in the creation of God. Remember, Jesus said he was the beginning of the creation of God in the book of Revelation. Out of this great eternal becomes this beginning of the creation of God, or God stepping into creation himself. In that person, it was the quickened word. It was logos and life together. But God knows now that Satan won't have access to the written word, that denominations will, so he severs this life, and then the seed, the word, the predestinated seed, can be sown in a person's heart and lay there for years and years and years, and then live a horrible life, an awful life. I mean, just do everything in the world, but all of a sudden something comes over that seed in their soul, and they're turned the other way. Now, what was it? It was the son in the office of the Melchizedek priesthood, who is now merging together both seed and word, and he changes your logos to where you become a rhema. Now, you become the living article of God for the day that you live in. I said a mouthful. I hope you understood it. Now listen, friend. The message of the hour is just not us sticking books and tapes under our arm. It is us becoming the very manifestation of this word. Praise the Lord. Now, what's this? Again, Brother Ram says, see, the seed of God is exactly placed in us from the foundation of the world. When that light first strikes that seed, it brings it to life. But when the light first has to come upon the seed, I've talked many times of the little woman at the well, her in that condition. An ill-famed person, her life is degraded. She was in that condition because traditions had never touched her. Now, this seed, though, the logos, is it would be a logos scripture laying in the Bible, and you're reading and reading. Reading and reading it, but say you've got a sickness or a need in your body, and one day you just pick up and you read the Bible, and while you're sitting there reading, all of a sudden the Spirit of God quickens that word to you. By His stripes you are healed. Oh my, just like something just from within you. It's just you. Oh my goodness, what happened? The Holy Ghost connected with that Logos again and quickened that to you. Do you understand? If you were eaten up totally with cancer and God took that promise of Logos and quickened it to Rhema, you could look at every specialist in the hospital and life in their face and say, God, just heal me, sir. I'm walking out of here. Amen. Now, the work was already done at Calvary, but how does it not work? Why don't, whenever we lay hands on all the sick, why don't they all recover? Whenever you say, well, I know that he was beat so I could be healed. Stripes upon his back. So we quote the Logos, quote the Logos, quote the Logos. And many times, friend, we're too dependent upon our memory. We're too dependent upon our flesh. Instead of asking the Holy Spirit of God, Father, help me. Lord, you see my need today. Quicken this Logos. Give me a rhema. Give me a rhema, God. Quicken this word. You see my need, Lord. Oh, my. Now, what's this? So there's two primary Greek words that are used to define the scripture, or the English word that we use as word in the New Testament. We've looked at this before, but I want to look at it again because we're going to look at it in a little different way. The Logos refers to the total inspired word, and of course to the Lord Jesus, who is the living word. Notice in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Logos. Meaning, word saying, a word uttered by living voice, embodies a conception or idea. So whenever you're sick or you have a need, and you quote a scripture that you feel like pertains to that need, you are reaching into the Logos and grabbing a hold of a conception or an idea that has been decreed or mandated by God that you feel like meets your particular situation. Now here comes the difficult part. And all of us know sometimes it's worked and sometimes it hasn't. You ever quoted scriptures and asked God to move for you? And Lord have mercy, you mean all the rest of you, every time you pray and quote scriptures, it works? Y'all, please come pray for me, please. come on, come on, come on, come on. I need it. I need it bad. If it was that way, fallen angels could take this Logos. Backsliders, devils, evil, wicked people could take this Logos. God only knows what they'd do. So he severs life and power, resurrection from the Logos. Here. Do we need the Logos, Brother Donnie? Every day. You will walk by more Logos than you will Ramos. Do you understand what the rapture is? Do you understand what's going to take place? You're hearing Logos preached. A minister can explain Logos to you, but I cannot give you a rhema. But while I'm preaching, the Holy Ghost can give you one. Or many. And he can give you one, which will be different than he gives you or you or you. He can give hundreds at one time, but according to your particular need. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Don't you understand what the rapture will be? The rapture is not the voice of God finding this tape that's been lost for 50 years or whatever more. And all of a sudden they're going to find this tape, and this will be the tape that contains all we need. That's contrary to Scripture. That wasn't the way Enoch walked with God. Come on, saints. What will it be? The prophet said the bride is waiting for the revelation of the rapture. This will be the last revelation you'll ever get as a mortal. Lord, I like that spell the other day, and the Lord spoke that to me. I'm surprised he didn't tell you all the pieces. This will be the last revelation that you will get as a mortal. The revelation of the rapture. When will it be? Right when the time when you will need it. A rhema from God will strike the entire earth at one time. It will be our last revelation as a mortal. Doing. We're hearing Logos. We're reading Logos. We're studying Logos. But it will not be by repeating Logos that will put us in the rapture. It will be the Holy Ghost quickening that word and turning it into rhema. The bride, he said, is waiting for the revelation of the rapture. And it ain't this man over here and that man over there and that man over there that's got it. Oh, I know there's carnal-minded people in the message, and they say, well, you know what, Brother Donnie and Brother Tim and these brothers is going to be a part of the rapture. They've got to get this certain man's tapes because the Lord's going to tell him when the rapture is. Well, I'm not saying the Lord ain't going to tell him. I'm just saying he's going to tell all the rest of us probably about the same time. There's only one man the whole bride around the world follows, and that happens to be William, Mary, and Branham. Every other man that tries to do that's an imposter. Everybody around the world don't need to hear our sermons. Everybody around the world don't need to hear Brother Tim's sermons, but they do need to hear straight from God. Come on, children, don't get quiet over there. In the beginning was the Logos, not the Rhema. The Logos. So it embodies a conception or idea, a decree, a mandate, an order. A Greek philosopher named Heraclitus first used the term Logos around 600 BC to designate the divine reason or plan which coordinates a changing universe. Coordinates the plan of a changing universe. Now watch, John goes on to say, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Him who? The Logos. The Logos is the creative channel of God. But now remember, in this stage, it is word and power. It is word and life. When it comes here, it is word which leads to life, but still needs to be quickened by the Holy Ghost. This is why Brother Branham said to have life is not to know His word, it's to know Him.
Let's stand. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In verse 14, and the Logos was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now when this Logos was made flesh in the person of the Lord Jesus, the entire attribute of the fullness of the Godhead bodily came in Him. But listen now. It was not in Him when He was born. He was the Word. So is a pine tree upon a hill, and a hickory and an oak. They're the Word. But the attribute of the fullness comes into Him. The Holy Ghost. Come on now, church. You've heard me tell this before. What did God do? So the Logos is born, made flesh. He lives this life for 30 years as a man without the Holy Ghost. Now I know this is hard on us Jesus onlys. Or Jesus only used to be. What's God doing? God's showing you. So then at the river, the attribute of the fullness of God comes down in Him. If He would have been born the fullness of the Word, and He's the firstborn of the creation of God, you would have had to come exact same way. So He comes and He lives this mortal life, and then the attribute of the fullness of God comes, and then what He becomes the quickened Logos. Now He has creative power. Had He just been the Scripture, quoting Scripture. We can quote all kinds of Scripture. It don't mean that it'll come to pass. Right? But once the Spirit of God quickens that promise, same with you and I. We're born with that little Logos. And you wait for years and years and years, or it does, till the Spirit of God, Zoe, comes over it and quickens that Logos and turns it into Rhema. It's one of the signs that we are family. Kin to God when we can hear, receive, and become Rhema. Lord Jesus, thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Don't you love Him, children? In Romans, Paul said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... That's not Logos. You didn't know that? That's Rhema. That's why you can sit and hear a preacher preach Logos, 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 Logos. But unless the Spirit of God quickens that to you and makes it faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of Rhema's. When the Spirit of God has so quickened that Word, you know, I see it, I see it. What does it do? Releases faith. What is it? Memorizing the Logos? Well, the Bible says this, and the Bible said that, and the Bible said something else, and the Bible said something else. We've all heard people do it. Didn't have a bit more power than nothing. Just live powerless Christian lives. Why? It's not been linked up with Zoe. Brother Louis is going to come and re-lead the service and lift the offering. Let's worship a little bit together. You love the Lord? I hope you was helped tonight. He'll be more careful about forgetting that next time, won't he? Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, saints. Let's worship together, Brother Louis. We sing. You don't have to do the prayer request again. Unless you forgot them.
This. Me forgetting that offering has nothing to do with my DNA. Nothing at all.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you've been picked? You've been chosen.
It's the greatest honor that you could ever have. The greatest honor. Ushers, come. Let's sing tonight. The greatest song that I could think of even singing right now is How Great Thou Art. Any of the greatest thing that ever got a hold of your life? Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art.
I crossed over the line. separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
I was heading the wrong direction, my sin dark as night. Satan was standing between
my soul and the light.
But Jesus gave me a life to shine. He saved this soul of mine. I'm glad I crossed over in time.
Now I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. God bless you, church.
I'm so glad I crossed over the line.
I'm so glad I crossed over that line.
Oh, the line
that separates the darkness from the light.
I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
I was traveling along the back roads, heading in the wrong direction. Satan was surely had shine when he saved this soul of mine. I'm glad I crossed over in time.
Now I'm so glad
I crossed over the line.
Oh, I'm so glad
I crossed over the line.
That line that separates the darkness from the light.
I'm so glad I crossed over.
The darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, give Him a big hand clap of praise. Do you appreciate the word of the Lord we heard tonight? Amen. Let's sing this little chorus just as you leave tonight. Can't you see why we're so happy? We've accepted the word of the Lord. Something. Let us receive this, Brother Terry. Aren't you glad it was something that you received this word? Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi. Or sing it as you go tonight. Oh, now can't you see? why I'm so happy. I've accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi. Oh, God bless you. See you in the morning.